Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we're taking a stake in the culture war. We're siding with God, family, and country on your radio. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday, and that means the good doctors in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, his collegiate series and lifelong goal to preserve the nation, his website to get that done, freedomsrisingsun.com, weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. It's good to hear your voice, and thank you for having me on, and good morning to everybody that's listening.
Amen to that, sir. So it turns out, just as we predicted, Miss Jackson now confirmed to the Supreme Court. It was a, 53-47 deal, and looks like three senators that are Republicans sided with the Democrats, and so you didn't even need the Kamala Harris tiebreaker of any kind. The three Republicans betrayed the Republican Party, if you will. Most of the Republicans were dismayed and disgruntled and walked out in a political partisan divide, but you know what? Mitt Romney loved it. Utah Senator Mitt Romney literally voted for Miss Jackson. And then he, as a lone Republican, literally stayed there and clapped for Jackson as his colleagues walked out. He stayed there and celebrated the win. Doctor?
Well, you heard it here first. I mean, we were predicting not only her victory, confirmation, but also the three Republicans that would vote on it. And just a little correction on what you said. You said three Republicans kind of betrayed their party. Well, it wasn't their party. It was the nation. The entire nation will rue the day that Judge Jackson assumed this seat. Now, it won't happen immediately. We've got to play out the resignation and the, you know, the formalities of it. But she has been confirmed at this time. By the way, she has a tie here, and I wonder, into Utah, I wonder if that had anything to do with Mitt Romney's vote. She is married to the brother of an individual in Utah, and they were, of course, dancing in the street, I guess you could say, figuratively, in regards to this. So there is a Utah tie in this thing. She has been out and spoken at University of Utah law school. And so anyway, there has been some contact out here with Judge Jackson. I tell you, I didn't watch the whole confirmation process. I absolutely did not. But I did watch enough of it to get a flavor. And I, as I've said before on your show, I felt like she was rather flat-footed. She wasn't quick on her feet in regards to uptake of issues and discussions, she seemed to be rather tied, if you will, to her cue cards. And I'm not saying she had cue cards being flipped up in front of her in the middle of the confirmation, but I think she had been very carefully.
Yeah, if you're an attorney, though, prepared. You have cue card talking points in your mind that you've rehearsed enough to where you can revert back to them. Attorneys do that very well.
Well, they should, but I didn't feel like she was able to make transitions and tie things together and make points. I thought she was rather clumsy, in fact, not just flat-footed. That's in over and above some of the rulings she's made and the writings that she did, her political, I guess, legal writings about how things ought to be handled in the courtroom and her inclination to kind of not really say, okay, this is really bad, and we've got to, you know, make sure everybody knows that, and this is okay, so it's not that big a deal. I think she was kind of, for some reason, and I don't know why she would be, caught unawares that there was going to be this kind of pushback. And I mean, enough had talked about it in advance that her pedophile sentencing guidelines and everything, her child pornography sentencing guidelines, it's a public record. And so I can't imagine why she didn't go, oh, yeah, I screwed up, or, yeah, in hindsight, those were probably not the best decisions, or I stand by the decisions, and here's why. I mean, those kinds of things should be, as you say, kicking around in your mind, but she seemed like she was, how dare you? I thought it was rather interesting how some would say, you know, you when the Democrats question a Republican nominee, you know, they go back to their high school yearbook and partying time and everything. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about your writings and your decisions. And so, I mean, come on, let's talk about stuff that's real. And I think they tried to.
I think a lot of them tried to, but I think they didn't pin her down hard enough. Again, we don't have enough of a media to carry the ball. Look, when she would not define woman. In my opinion, that told us everything we need to know. I know that's kind of laughable and everything else, but it really is quintessential, though. If you can't define male and female and follow God's laws and follow established science on that reality, then you're going to be a compromised judge, an activist judge from the bench.
Well,
because you're not interested in the truth. You're interested in the latest political winds blowing, and that's what she catered to. Okay, and all I'm telling you is that's enough to say, look, we can't have this kind of a person on the court. They don't understand principle. They don't understand God-ordained and scientifically backed definitions. This person cannot be our representative. But you know what? Because we didn't have enough media, and because there's really not enough Republican opposition, we didn't really get to drill in all the way on that, Doctor.
Well, there's a lot of things at play here. I mean, first of all, Republicans don't have enough backbone to carry the ball. It's not just the media. There are a couple, two or three out there that try to, you know, raise some kind of a red flag or something like that. But nobody seems willing to pick it up, and there's all too many that are willing to turn their back on the country and its baseline principles that are found within the Republican Party, these turncoats, if you will, that are betraying their oath of office and their what should be a devoted effort to preserve the nation, if you will. But it's not just biology, it's God ordained. This is eternal stuff. And she says, I'm not a biologist, I can't make that definition. Well, duh. So anything that comes before the court, if she's not a trained psychologist or sociologist or chemist or engineer or physician or whatever, that's a tax attorney, whatever that comes before her, and she's not ordained, if you will, in that priestcraft, then she's not going to be able to give consideration to things. It's so weird how people like her play to the latest political wind shift. And I don't want to shift away from this if you're not done with it, but I don't know if you saw our governor, Spencer Cox, use his preferred pronouns when talking on a Zoom call with some school kids. And it's like, no, wait. And Tucker Carlson did probably a 10 or 12-minute tirade about this thing and about how Utah, that's supposedly one of the reddest of the red states, which you and I live in Utah, and we know that Utah is not red. Utah claims to be to avoid all of the crosshair stuff that happens when they're sanctuary states and sanctuary cities and everything. Utah is everything except for publicly declaring those things. But the fact of the matter is the governor, he put an R behind his name, and so he got elected. But I know some people that, you know, I never followed this. My kids were all grown by the round time this came around. But I guess the Teletubbies or something was a video movie TV show, 25 years ago or something, they was a Caillou or something like that, a little bald-headed character in it that some people I know are calling Spencer Cox. And look up a picture of him and you'll see what they're talking about. But anyway, this Caillou guy that was on these things, this children's TV show, he had imaginary friends. and was always interacting with them. And it seems to me like Spencer Cox has imaginary friends, because I don't know who the heck his friends are. And he's in the state of Utah, who claims to be this soundly founded, principles-based conservative state. And he's doing stuff that is just off the wall that goes with the political correctness that Judge Jackson is doing, too. It's just whatever the political winds are blowing, put your finger in the air, feel which side gets cold after you've licked it, and here we go down that path play the game that the political correct...
Yeah, Spencer Cox is going to change the name of the Beehive State. Did you hear this?
I have not, but go ahead and tell me.
Oh, come on. Yeah,
I'm sure I'll be disgusted.
This is really important stuff, man.
Okay.
All right, Governor Spencer Cox to change Utah's nickname from the Beehive State to the Be Kind State.
Okay.
Yeah?
Well, I guess, you know, it goes along with his get along kind of attitude. Go along to get along with anything that blows in the wind. And you know, obviously, you know, we're all human beings. We've all got to live together, and we're all in this mess together. But honestly and truthfully, if you bend at every single little puff of wind that comes along, you're not going to have enough backbone to stand up to the things that really, really are important. You won't even recognize them, I don't think, as they come along. So grow a backbone and learn principles and stand with them.
Amen to that. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk straight ahead. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Yeah, Governor Spencer Cox wants to change Utah's nickname from the Beehive State. That was after a bee in a beehive representing the industry of the Mormons back in the day, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, celebrating their industry and their work together ethics and how much they were able to accomplish and everything else. Very symbolic biblically of a bee. I mean, I could go on, but now we're going to just change it to the Be Kind State. But let me tell you my problem with the Be Kind State. We're going to literally promote transgender. We're going to literally let men play in women's sports. We're going to literally back a lady that cannot even define woman. We're going to go ahead and, in my opinion, be kind. But what about the babies that we are dealing with here? You know what? A lot of the states are really picking to double down in defense of pro-life or double down in defense of pro-death. Utah not really having the guts to back pro-life either, Doctor.
You know, I've been frustrated with Utah for a lot of years, a lot of years. We're talking probably a good 30 years at least. That Utah has taken a back seat to almost everybody in terms of preserving unborn children. I wrote a letter to the editor that got some renown. This was probably 25, 30 years ago, in which I likened our governor at the time, who was Mike Leavitt. See, we have a whole string of Republican governors. And by the way, Leavitt's ties to the globalist establishment or should be well known by now because of all of the accolades that he's received from that end of the woods. Anyway, I likened Leavitt to Pilate and washing his hands. And that's kind of where Utah has been, washing their hands over the blood of innocents for so many years. And there's other states that have been taking the lead on it, and Utah has been scared of its own shadow. It's kind of like push the limits a little bit. Let's do the right thing. I don't care if there's going to be people saying, oh, but we got to love everybody. Well, you don't love the unborn child. I mean, you know, in every single instance of an abortion, an innocent, voiceless person dies. And it's not just kind of, sort of, maybe a few times, whatever. It's always. And Utah has been cowardly on this. And as you point out, there have been other states that have been taking the lead on this, and it's put them up kind of in the, I don't know, they've been taking fire over it. But
I'm going to set a trap for you, Doctor.
Okay, go ahead. Everybody does, it seems like.
Yeah, we're going to do that on purpose to make a point here. What are your pronouns?
I'm a male, and I would like to be manly in every way that God ordained me to be, and there's none of this. Bravo Sierra, as we used to call it, you know, do the phonetic alphabet if you can't figure that out. You know, when you're talking on the radio in the military, you know, it's Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, you know, and figure out Bravo Sierra. Anyway, yeah, none of the Bravo Sierra that is being played in front of all of the cameras constantly. I mean, look at this. And again, this is just another tangent to take off on that swimmer from Pennsylvania. Holy Hannah. Some of the stuff that's been in the press, I mean, this guy, they originally said, okay, we're going to let him have his own private space to shower and change in his shower. No, they got him in with all the college-age girls. I mean, I got granddaughters that are college-age, okay? And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What freaky, weird, bizarre universe are you living in that this is okay? But that's what's happening. And these girls...
And it's going to get much worse, because I'll tell you what. Now Utah governor declares his transgender preferred pronouns. Now, of course, he was doing this to middle school students and stuff like this. And he defined his pronouns as he and the normal pronouns. But the problem when you declare your pronouns, you're going down this road, ladies and gentlemen, of what the transgenders want. Everybody should define your pronouns. So right now, and here's the trap that I set for you, Dr. Bradley. Right now you identify as male, and you know these kind of things that you articulated. But understand that you could change your mind at any time. Understand that by declaring those, they're alterable by you. You're the ones that declared them, and you have the right to reissue them as your heart desires, you see. And that's kind of where the lie is. And so when Spencer Cox did this, he really doubled down and backed the transgender agenda. I don't define my pronouns as I want to or as I choose to. They're scientifically given to me at birth. They're scientifically given to me by God's law. Okay, these are not alterable or changeable or identifiable or retractable or any of these other words you want to manipulate them to be. And when we declare them, we insinuate that they can be just defined on a whim, Doctor.
Well, you know, and Spencer Cox, you know, you mentioned, I don't want this perhaps misunderstood, the legislature this past session that just ended made it, you know, they passed a law that said, you know, these people these guys that want to say they're girls and compete in girls' sports can't do it in Utah. And the governor vetoed it. Okay, now that's another indicator of something. And he says, oh, there's only four people this affects. Well, Really? Okay, fine. Quit making a big stink of it and let's go ahead with life. Anyway, the governor vetoed it, and about a nanosecond later, I think it was a few days, but the legislature overrode his veto, and he was heartbroken. And it's like, well, tell me where your real loyalties lie. I mean, think of these young women that work so hard to compete in their sports, you know, this Title IX stuff that came to the forefront some decades ago. You know, they work their guts out, whether it's swimming or soccer or baseball or whatever, pick a sport, and now we're going to throw guys in the mix. And this swimmer that we mentioned here shortly ago, he was ranked like 462 or something. It was way in the top of 400s in his field of swimming, and he became number one in the nation overnight by declaring himself to be a female. What absurdity is this? And by the way, he hasn't had any of the mutilation, the surgical alterations or anything like that. So he's in the middle of the girls' locker room, showering with the girls, getting ready. You know, anybody that's been in a locker room knows that you don't have 6 foot personal space in those things. Okay, and that obviously wouldn't be enough in this case either. But it's absolutely absurd where we're going. And when you have governors that are playing that card, and like I say, this Caillou guy that was the cartoon character for a kid's show that has imaginary friends, I don't know who Spencer Cox's imaginary friends are, but he's playing to them somewhere and feels like there's some political value in that, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe he really feels ambivalent about sexuality. I don't know. But he sure does play that card a lot. And for Utah to be a red state, according to the way everybody defines them, first of all, I know they're not. Utah, I mean, they elected Mitt Romney for crying out loud. They elected Spencer Cox for crying out loud. They continue to elect people that that certainly don't reflect what a lot of people say, oh, that's where the Republicans ought to be. And the legislature is a whole different thing. I mean, the legislature is filled, literally. There's probably one or two exceptions, but generally filled with people that are playing this same angle. But their constituents came up out of their seats and says, you darn well better override that governor's veto of this boys playing in girls' sport thing. And they got the message and they responded. But we got a legislator. He's been in for years. And I don't know if it was in this session, but the last session, he put forth a bill that said, you can change your gender on your birth certificate. Huh? Huh? And so that would get around this thing where people say, oh, you have to use the restroom or play on the sports team of the gender that you had in your birth certificate. But no. They wanted to change it so you could change it on your birth certificate. I'm just wondering if you wanted to change it to put yourself down as a dog, because dogs don't have to pay income tax. I don't know.
No, you can't do that yet, buddy, but it's coming, my friend.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Yeah,
right?
This is
Think
an
about
enigma.
That. All right, let me set up the next segment because it relates to this, but it's a slightly different topic. What are your pronouns? Let's say this. Now, the United Nations says half of world pregnancies are unintended. Half of world pregnancies are unintended. And they frame the, quote, unintended pregnancy as a global crisis, ladies and gentlemen. The Trump administration defended pro-life to some degree and stopped U.S. funding for this group called UNFPA, because the agency was complicit in the Chinese brutal one-child policy. But now Joe has reinstated U.S. funding for the agency. We'll talk about it more in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Thank you. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Congress on Thursday voted to suspend normal trade relations with Russia and ban the importation of its oil because of the invasion in Ukraine. President Biden is expected to sign the measure, which the Senate passed 100-0. White House officials and Democrat lawmakers celebrated Thursday's historic confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court.
Is considered made and laid upon the table, and the president will immediately be notified.
Madam President, very happily, I note the absence of a quorum.
The average U.S. life expectancy has fallen by more than 2 years between 2020 and 2021. The study was done by the University of Colorado Boulder. There was a historically high drop in estimated life expectancy in 2020, from about 78.9 years to 77 years, a fall of almost 2 years since the pandemic started. USA Radio News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-272-1955. That's 1-800-272-1955. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-272-1955.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The city of Denver, Colorado will appeal a court verdict last month that awarded $14 million to protesters that were subjected to excessive police force. Denver Democrat Mayor Michael Hancock told reporters on Thursday the protests in 2020 following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis were unprecedented. China is no longer the number one nation funneling drugs into our southern border.
Mexico has replaced China as the dominant source of the deadly opioid fentanyl, which is flooding across the border into the United States. State Department Assistant Secretary James Walsh telling a congressional panel that it will take work on both sides of the border to stop the flow.
Precursor chemicals used to create the illicit fentanyls are neither scheduled nor regulated nationally by Mexico and are thus legal to sell and ship.
DEA agent seized 3 million counterfeit prescription pills last year. That's three times the number in 2020. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio. Look, Donald Trump's administration rejected funding for the UNFPA. You say, well, Sam, what the heck is the UNFPA in the first place? The UNFPA, ladies and gentlemen, can be described as the United Nations Reproductive Health and Rights Agency. Think about that. You have a global reproductive health and rights agency. Anyway, they're coming out and saying, hey, half the pregnancies in the world are unintended. So, Donald Trump rejected funding for this. Joe brought it right back. Biden significantly boosts funding for the agency complicit in human rights abuses, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Washington, D.C., April 8th. They say the newly released White House budget for 2023 requests $56 million for the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, and calls for removing stipulations, preventing the UN agency from funding programs in China, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. So literally what they're doing is they're telling you that it's a global crisis. Half the pregnancies in the world aren't even wanted, and they're going to take the lead as really a global government agency. They've taken it to a new level, doctor.
You know, there's, again, as we always have on these things, so many strings to pull on. I mean, I didn't mean for you to get pregnant. Well, okay. That's even if people were not pro-life, even if people had no opinion whatsoever about abortion, they should be appalled at this because there is no constitutional justification for us to take money from Americans and ship them anywhere else to anybody else, whether it's tin horn dictators or phony baloney world government organizations or people that are going to kill babies somewhere else. Everybody should be appalled that they're redistributing wealth to the entire world. Tens of millions of dollars are planned for this shenanigan, if you will. That's the nicest thing that can be said about it. There is no constitutional authority to take anything. In fact, if you wanted to be, you know, really accurate about it, you could go back to the Constitution and find out that the only things you can tax people for was the fulfillment of the delegated responsibilities that are found within the Constitution. And they're few and well-defined. Yeah, that's kind of the 45th Federalist paper. And the fact of the matter is that we have completely lost our bearings. And the fact we're going to put it forward to kill babies because their parents were too stupid to figure out what prevented or kept them from getting pregnant. But it's going to go beyond that. It's going to go perhaps to feed a one-child policy. I don't know if there's any such thing in the world right now because China found it to be a disaster. But it will feed an official policy. Oh, send us money. We'll help prevent more than one child from being born into a family. This is absolutely diabolical, and people should be up in arms over this thing. And to me...
Well, this is why, again, I bring it up, and I'll tell you, because the states are going red-blue on this right now. They're dividing on partisan lines. They're either pro-life or pro-death, and they're declaring themselves. Idaho tried to go pro-life to a great degree. I know there's problems with that bill and everything else, but they did. Then Oregon declared themselves as kind of a murder sanctuary. Now Colorado and California went on the books as murder sanctuaries. A lot of the states in the South are doubling down in pro-life. Oklahoma just created one of the greatest pro-life bills in the country. The governor's saying, I want to be the greatest pro-life state. I want to be the greatest pro-life governor in the country. Okay, so they're polarizing on this. The Supreme Court battling this issue right now as we approve Jackson. And all I'm telling you is I think they're going to take this global to say it doesn't really matter what happens at the Supreme Court. The global governance will decide this issue. That's their goal, ladies and gentlemen. They want to put this big amount of money in the budget. But think about the UNFPA being described as the United Nations, quote, reproductive health and rights agency. If they get that to stand globally, I don't know of a greater constitutional violation than that, doctor.
Well, let's
it'll
just
be
put
at the core of everything you think, believe, do. It'll define your, well, you can't define your pronouns. They'll be defined for you. Or what I mean is, if you talk about the reproductive and then the rights, reproductive health and rights, okay, there's nothing that you can't drive that truck through, doctor.
I will go so far as to say that anybody, any organization, any institution that throws money into the United Nations bucket is guilty of the genocidal, homicidal, anti-God philosophies of that organization that is seeking to overthrow the freedom of all lands. So if you put money in for UNICEF, for vaccines, let's say, and UNICEF is in favor of age-appropriate pornography, age-appropriate pornography. Tell me what that does to the moral standard of the world. And people say, oh, well, they just put the money in for vaccines. Okay, fine. So UNICEF was going to put so much money into vaccines. Somebody just came up with $20 million for us to do vaccines. Now we can put the $20 million that we were going to put in that to age-appropriate pornography or to family planning or to whatever. We are feeding the beast. And we're patting ourselves on the back as we're doing it. This United Nations organization that has been a bane on society, now they actually formally organized it in October of 1945, but all through World War II, they coined the term United Nations, and so they were blowing on the embers that was going to create this globalist world government infrastructure all throughout World War II. this thing is emboldened beyond, I don't know if it's beyond. When I was back in the 50s, when I was young, we got a weekly dosage of the United Nations, and it's just the accolades of everything that could be said about the United Nations as the world's last great hope and everything. Nowadays, it just seems like it's front and center on everything. And when the United States, as an official policy, is looking to spend tens of millions of dollars on killing unborn babies with money that was stolen, there's no other way to say it, from American taxpayers to do this sort of thing, we should be livid. And any of these private fundings of it ought to regroup. They ought to say, wait, do we really want to be part of this whole thing? I simply cannot imagine what possesses people that they can't see beyond the end of their nose to the bad that they're doing to get some kind of benefit from it. You know, the Savior, when he was on the earth, he said, verily they have their reward. You know, these people that do things out in the open and look at me, I'm one of the great and noble ones that's, yeah, you've got to throw praise and glory my way and I'll brag about it across the pulpit or wherever. When really and truly, our service to our fellow man should be a quiet offering of loving care and devotion. And you look how the Savior did it. He went about doing good. But he wasn't flying the banner in front of him that he was making all sorts of donations to the family planning unit. It's just absurd to me that anybody even thinks that this is okay to do. And our president is saying, this is the path we need to follow. It's another indication that he's lost all traction. His mental cognitive thing, his handlers are guilty of elder abuse. Of course, Biden would do it without any encouragement. But
amen to that. But whether you got this agenda on the global level, now you've got Oreo Cookie in the mix promoting this agenda as well. They released a new ad on Monday that celebrates a young man coming out as gay to his family. And if you say, they say this in the commercial, coming out doesn't just happen once. It's a journey that needs love and courage every step of the way. And so this commercial has this family at a table. And this guy's going to come out. His immediate family knows, but his grandma doesn't. He's going to come out to his grandma that he's gay. He's scared to do it and stuff. And so everybody's kind of, you know, on bated breath. And the mom encourages him when he starts to stutter and can't get it done. And the sister basically grabs an Oreo cookie and runs away from the table going, oh, man, this is going to go down. I don't want to be part of this thing or whatever else. And they're literally doubling down and promoting this gay, lesbian, bisexual gender using Oreo cookies as their kind of a push for this. All governments around the world, all big business corporations around the world. I mean, you might find an exception here or there, but virtually all are literally doubling down in this agenda. The question is for the good doctor, what's going to happen in the next several years? What will be their next steps? And what will be the repercussions? God judges nations eventually, virtually immediately. I'm telling you right now, I think God's going to take off the gloves over this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The founder Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Maybe while Sam is indisposed. Okay. I would go back to what Sam's pre-comments before this last break. I go back to Monday. We talked about this evil that's out there that's more highly organized, cleverly disguised, more powerfully promoted than ever before, and about this end times kind of situation that's coming up. As evil grows more powerful and evil under Lucifer's leadership, there is the leadership of Christ that we can look to. There will be growing battles. I do not for a moment doubt, as Sam asked just before the break, I don't doubt for a moment that the conflicts will be more probably pointed than they have been in recent times. I mean, there's been bad times. I mean, you look at the religious depredations that happened back in the days of the Inquisition. There's been more evil probably done in the name of religion than almost any other thing on the earth. So there have been evil things that have been done throughout history that have been diabolically planned and carried out. But I think that as we go in this forward motion, Sam was saying, wow, this is a weird time to live. It is. We've got front row seats. We are, in fact, the people, and I think that God does everything by design. I think God does everything with a plan. I don't think he rolls the dice and says, well, let's see what comes up this time. And I think it's foolish for us to assume that God's, he doesn't know how this thing's going to play out. I mean, he's it's a lot of deists in times past kind of considered the idea that God had kind of established everything and rolled the dice and walked away, and he's just going to see how it turns out. I believe that he's a very integral part of everything that happens throughout the universe. And some people, I think, become angry when they take that thought because they said, how could God allow this to happen? Well, in God's great wisdom and in his accord with his plan to allow all of us the liberty to choose the path that we're going to choose, and demonstrate our own character to ourselves, I think, more than anyone else. He allows things to happen, but I know that he knows the outcome before the next step happens. And so, there is going to be growing battles under the two leadership heads, if you will, of Lucifer and Jesus Christ.
Let me give you the other battle that we're having to face, too, in addition to this Oreo cookie ad promoting this, is that I mentioned all, really virtually speaking, all corporations, all governments really doubling down on this pervert gender, destroy the family, jettison the male-female reality check, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, every perverted sex is great. Any sex that truly procreates and brings children to the world is really rejected. Murdering the babies, trying to prevent the, pre- pretend there's no consequences for actions, etc. And we're just in a strange world. And I think God's going to take off the gloves and we're going to start to see real, real problems, economic, environmental, and the list goes on and on. And then they'll just use that, of course, in the Hegelian dialectic realm to create more and more government. But here's the interesting one. New York City's mayor, Eric Adams, now launched an ad campaign against Florida, urging residents to move to New York City over Florida's new, quote, parental rights bill. We have a message for Florida's LGBTQ plus community. Come to a city where you can be you, doctor.
Well, you know, it's interesting. New York City is really bleeding to death in terms of its economic strength. They have taxed and oppressed the people there to the point. I mean, there'll be denizens of the night left there someday creep out at night and work their evil against each other. I don't know when it'll come to that. But New York City is driving people from them by all of their mandates that they've done, whether it's COVID or whether it's taxing structure or whether it's stop and frisk or anything like that. The people are saying, no, wait, we don't have to put up with this. And New York has had some resilience, I understand, but New York and California both are losing populations dramatically because people are fleeing the draconian mandates that are out there. And Florida has something of a reputation of having being a place of more freedom. I don't know as it's fully deserved. I think there's about a 50-50 split right now in Florida between those that want to be free and those that don't. I think it could tip either way. But it's interesting to me that New York is taking advantage of a little glimmer of hope they feel like that they can get the LGBTQ WXYZ group to come back into New York. You know, look, I have the greatest of sympathy to people that are confused about facts in any regard. So it's not just limited to sexual perversions and so on and so forth. But literally and truthfully, sympathy or not, we can't just let this to run roughshod over us. I mean, let's go back to Massachusetts for just a second. Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts. He, without any authority whatsoever, as governor, the executive of Massachusetts, declared that same-sex marriage was a law of the land, so to speak, in Massachusetts, and ordered all those that were performing marriages and issuing licenses and everything to just go along with that. And now we look at what's happening in Massachusetts with the educational system, so-called. Again, that's we could argue about that point. But now they give not just equal time, but prevalent promotion of all of these different gender so-called issues that are out there. And that's where I see the United States going. I see it becoming more and more predominant, more and more officially sanctioned, more and more where there's no flexibility to say, you know what, I am a man. She is a woman. And we're going to get married. Oh, no, you've got to... Are you guys sure? You sure you want to go down this path? I think we're going to see that. And as you point out, and George Mason made this comment during the convention of 1787, that because nations don't exist in the eternities, they have to receive their rewards or punishments in this life. And it may be that California burns to the ground or falls off the edge of the earth in an earthquake. I don't know. Maybe New York City becomes a ghost town because of their lack of willingness to be free. But there are consequences for everything that happens, and sooner or later, and God's got a lot more patience than I've got, I have to admit that up front, sooner or later we have come to a Sodom and Gomorrah point where it's not going to be condoned anymore or allowed, and the earth has to be cleansed. And the earth will be cleansed, and I guess that I'm praying that God will provide strength for those that want to abide his counsel.
Amen to that. And what I see happening is people are being denied their agency over this, though. It will eventually be where they will take the United Nations, they'll double down with Oreo cookie and promote this in every facet of our life to where you won't be able to be a dissenter or you will be hate-filled. is this hate speech will be the common question slash refrain. Now, let me tell you this, too. This is kind of interesting. Back in 1967, the year Sam was born, okay, they created two government agencies back then. I don't know if you know this. The first one is the 1st of April. The United States Department of Transportation began operation. Just think where we are today with increasing gas prices. Joe Biden is going to mandate vehicles have an average of 49 miles to the gallon, et cetera, et cetera. Costs just going through the roof for simple transportation. That's one of them. The second one, 7th of November, the U.S. President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, establishing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So think about that. Think about what's happened since those two things. At first, these things seemed innocent. Hey, you know what? At least we got a broadcasting entity in America that can make sure things are fair, is what everybody thought. Think if we get a transportation agency in place, how good things will be. We'll have standards in our roads and standards in, you know, when you buy a car, you'll be able to depend on these standards. And we bought these lies, and now you see where we're going. I submit to you they're going to create government agencies to further these agendas. The blurring of gender, the destruction of male and female in the family, the continued environmental push they've got going on. So whether it be health, the environment, or the family, they're going to put forward agencies that force change. Doctor?
Well, you look how well government has done in anything it's touched. I mean, it is very not just inefficient. It's not just clumsy. It actually is an imposition against all American people. And if you look back at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, a lot of people call it an elastic clause. No, it is not an elastic clause that gives them power to do anything they want. It's a clause that says they can carry out those authorities that are delegated within the Constitution. Let's read it. It says, Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. So, if you read the first 17 clauses of Article 1, Section 8, you see, oh, well, they can coin money. They can do post offices and post roads. That doesn't give them authority over all the roads. It doesn't give them authority over transportation. It does not give them authority over how you broadcast on the radio. It doesn't do anything of the sort. It says simply that they have the authority to carry out those powers delegated to them. And we have had the wheels fall off this thing, and you're absolutely right. The farther we get into this process, the more we're going to find that unconstitutionally, in every way, shape, and form, there is no other way to put it, the government is going to be intruding into our lives. And it's not just going to be private corporations like Disney that are fostering the idea of gender issues and so on and so forth, which I believe that probably people in wisdom would say, no, I'm not gonna help pay for that. I'm not sending my kids to be indoctrinated, blah, 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 whatever. And maybe there'll be a ghost town someday if people really learn, and maybe not. Maybe there'll be a celebration of that, and it becomes so blatant and in your face that when you go to Disney World or Disneyland, you're going to know exactly what you're getting. And you can choose. You can choose. But when the government gets
right
involved,
now you can choose, but I submit to you they're eventually going to make it to where you can't choose.
The force is involved when government's involved, and that's why people try to gain control over the levers of government. And when they gain that, they think they have authority to do whatever they want. And that is not our constitutional form of government. There are limits and bounds, checks and balances. And if those things are ignored, heaven's going to have to help us. Because
amen
government
to that.
Is
in
force.
Fact, it's a form of government that we absolutely reject because it's Satan's plan and goes against every effort of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, for Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, we pray for this nation. We'll pray on our knees. We'll receive God's guidance and get up and go to work and do all that we can. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, FreedomsRisingSun.com. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.